Okay, does everybody have the handout, Recognizing the Roles, Lesson 8? Okay. All right, just go ahead and what you want. If you want, this is Lesson 8. We're going to start a little bit behind because we went over in the college stuff, giving out all the great awards and everything. That was a lot of fun. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, this lesson, as you notice, is Recognizing the Roles, the Role of the Children. This is part 2. We're continuing, of course, our study of family relationships. We're looking at all the different roles in the family unit. We've talked about husbands, wives, parents, children. That's where we are. As those who belong to Jesus Christ, we want to live differently. We're new creations in Christ. We were dead, but now we're alive. We've been raised up and seated in heavenly places with Christ. We've been looking at some details at the family unit. As believers, we're different from the world. We're supposed to be. So as husbands, wives, parents, children, we got to be different, and that's sort of the goal. This morning, as we continue, that's the title. We're looking at the role of children, part 2. We want to see some things there. You remember we talked about that there's some rights of children and there's responsibilities of children. The last lesson, 7, dealt with the rights of children. This one deals with responsibilities of children, so there's a lot in there. You might want to, if your children aren't in this room, you might want to write this down and give it to them so they can remember what they're supposed to do, okay? Let's start with a prayer, and then we'll get into it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for our class. Thank you for the time that we have to get to be together. Thank you for Jesus Christ and eternal life. We thank you for the families. And Lord, if we think about the families in our church, it's so amazing that we have so many great families who love you and live for you and make an impact for you. Lord, we just ask you, as we look at this study and we just see how things fit together, that you would help us as we look at the role of the husband and the wife and the parents and the children and how things fit together so that we can be ready to live out who we are in a fallen world. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Word of God, which instructs us and teaches us, helps us know what to do, and helps us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. Teach us now, Lord. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how do we view our children? How do our children view us? How do we view our children? Do we see them as gifts from God or a bother? Now, that may surprise you, because I think the greatest thing of all is to watch a baby be born and then realize that baby's yours and that God has entrusted to you a child. And one of the things we did not too long ago was a baby dedication, and I think we had like 14 or 15 children dedicated, and how excited it is. And so when we look at children, we say, boy, they're gifts from God. It's the grace of God. But, you know, I worked with someone once who said, I had one that was enough, and I wish I'd never had that one. And so some people look at their children as almost a bother. Other people look at children and say, I can hardly wait to have 5 more. So how do we view our children? Now, here's the second question. How do children view us as their parents? See, the young oftentimes see parents as protectors, great, perfect. I have to tell you this, and this is nothing to do with me. There's a little girl in the first service who was the great-granddaughter of Patricia Logan. And they had told her that this was God's house, okay? We don't teach this as God's house. We teach this as auditorium. But she came in, and when she met me, she told Patricia, oh, there's God, you know? And she thought I was God because she thought I lived here. And so she drew this drawing for me and gave it to me. And I said, thank you so much. And she told her, you know, Patricia, she said, I gave that to God, you know. And sometimes our little ones think we're like God, because when they look at us and when they're little bitty, you know, you look at your mama and the daddy and they're so great and they do all that. Then they get older, right? And the teen years. And we become what? Stupid. Because, see, we don't really know anything. We don't. We don't. We don't know the music. We don't know the slang. We don't know all the gadgets. We can't make anything work. You have to get somebody, you know, 13 and under to make any kind of electronic thing work now. And so they look at us sometimes and they think we're stupid. And then as they get older, oftentimes they see their parents get wiser and able to help. Think about this little boy, how he looked at his mother. A small boy invaded the lingerie section of a big California department store, and he shyly presented his problem to the clerk, to the woman clerk. I want to buy my mama a slip for a present, but I don't know what size she wears. So the clerk said, is she tall or short or fat or skinny? And he said, she's perfect. So she wrapped up size 34 2 days later, the mama came back to the store and changed it for a 52, you know. But the point is, in his eyes, she's perfect. When you get older and become teens, it's amazing how stupid we become. We don't know music or TV shows or dances, and we're not cool. We're definitely not cool. Sometimes when our kids get older, we get smarter. There's an old saying, when I was 15, my father was so stupid. By the time I got 21, I was amazed how much my father had learned. Yeah. This morning, we want to think about the study of the role of children. And we saw two things. We said, first of all, that they had rights. They had rights to be born, rights to be taken care of, and right to be taught. Then we said that there's responsibilities. Responsibilities to obey their parents, to honor their parents, and to provide for their parents. And we'll see it as we go through it. Last time we talked about the rights, if you remember that, and the one to come into this world. And we said, listen, if we're going to conceive them, we got to take care of them. We got to bring them in this world. We know that the value of human life, we talked about it. I'm not going to go into the detail like we did 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. But you all know what's happening in our culture and our society, that anything in the womb is not really a person. Even now, there's talk about saying that even if you're born and you're a baby, is that still a person? That they might say, no, it's not. And you have infanticide. And we all know what's happening to the older people. You get older and older and older, and our culture is saying, how are we going to take care of all these old people? How are we going to take care of these people that don't know where they are? How are we going to take care of them? Maybe there comes a time when you remove them. And that's the slippery slope that Francis Schaeffer talked about back in the 70s when he talked about the whole abortion issue, that abortion would lead to infanticide and euthanasia. And that's exactly what's happening. And so we talked about how important it is and how valuable a person is, and they have the right to be born. They have a right to come into this world. Second, they have a right to be taken care of. If you're going to have those babies and those children, we got to take care of them and protect them and provide for them. And then the third one is the right to be taught. And we spent a good bit of time, the right to know the truths of the Bible, the right to know the gospel message, the right to know rights and wrongs, the rights to know how to live a successful life. Teaching our children instructions for living and those kind of things. There's so much there that we talked about. Now, from that, we want to see three other things. We called them the responsibilities, and we said to obey their parents, to honor their parents, and to provide for their parents. And that last one sometimes bothers a little people, because they'll think, what do you mean provide for the parents? I thought it was the responsibility of the parents to provide for their children, not their children to provide for the parents. We'll see how it fits. Let's start with the first one, and that is to obey. The word obey is a special word. It's hupa akuo, hupa akuo. Hupa means under, like a hypodermic needle. Hypodermic needle goes under the skin. Hupo means under. Akuo means to hear. We get acoustics from it. The Greek word means to hear under, to come under to hear. It means to obey. And children are to obey their parents. And realize that this, sometimes people don't like this, but the truth is parents are the boss of their children. You've been instructed as parents to basically train your children up and to train them in the training and admonition of the Lord, and for them to do what you say and clarify. God has entrusted, and talk to children, God has entrusted you to your parents. You are under their authority. You're to obey your parents. The word means to listen under it. I've told you the stories about a teenage girl, a college girl. She was close to 20. She came to see me one day. This has been about 15 years ago. She came to see me. She was really mad at her mother because she was living at home with her mother and going to college. Her mother was paying for her college and letting her live at home for free. But her mother was telling her, if you're going to live at my house, you're coming in at 12. She said she didn't think it was right. She had to come in at 12. So she came to see me, hoping that I would be on her side. So she came to see me and said, I don't think it's fair that my mother tells me I have to come in at 12 o'clock. I'm in college. I said, well, do you live there? Yeah. Is she paying your way? Yeah. I said, you do what she says. Yeah, but it's not really fair. I said, well, if you don't want to come in at 12, then get your own apartment and live by yourself, and then you can do what you want. She said, but I have to pay for that. I said, right. So if you're going to be under the authority of your parents, you what? You obey them. And the truth is, you obey your parents as long as you're under the authority of your parents. Now, the biblical world was a little bit different than ours, because a young woman was under the authority of her parents until she was married. Now, they usually were married fairly young. sometimes between 15, 16, 17, 18 is when they were actually, the betrothal and all of those things would happen. So a girl was under the authority of her dad till she was married, then she was under the authority of her husband after she was married. Men usually did not get married and move away. They usually moved in with his family. They usually built on another room to their house and they lived there. That's why Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many what? Many rooms. I'm going to go get you a place to live, is what he's basically saying. The John 14 passage is a picture of a betrothal. Jesus Christ is betrothed to the church. He's going to die for us, and we're married to him, basically. And he says, I'm going to go get you a place to live. In our culture today, people get to a certain age, and they move away, and they start their own life. And they may be 22 and they have their own job and live in another city and they say, I don't have to really obey my parents. And the truth is, no, you don't. Not if you're not under their authority anymore. But as long as you're under authority, you're to obey your parents. Now, let's look at some things. I want you to turn to Proverbs, okay? Turn over to Proverbs because the wisdom literature is so powerful, gives us so much information. Let's start at Proverbs 3. Listen to what this says. Go Proverbs 1. I think Proverbs 1 would be better. Go Proverbs 1. Look at verse 8. Now, this is talking to children. Listen to what it says. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. He said, listen, your mom and daddy are training you. Listen to what they have to say. Verse 9, indeed, they are graceful. They are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. Look at chapter 3. Just flip a few pages over to chapter 3. Look at verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching. Let your heart keep my commandments. Look at verse 4. You will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and men. Trust in the Lord all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him. He'll make your paths straight. It says, don't forget my teaching. Go over to Proverbs chapter 6. Listen to what he says. My son, this is chapter 6, verse 20. My son, observe the commandment of your father. Do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually in your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they'll guide you. When you sleep, they'll watch over you. When you wake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is a light, and reproof for discipline are the way of life. They'll be a guide. Listen, what is the responsibility of parents? We hadn't really got to them yet. We're still doing children, but what's the responsibility of the parents? Teach our children. What's the responsibility of the children? Learn from your parents. Grow up and say, I'm going to learn these things. Go back to Colossians chapter 3. Powerful truths. Colossians chapter 3 is where we've been seeing this. And if you notice, Colossians chapter 3, verse 20 says, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, not some things, all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Now, there's two things, I think, under this. One, it's completely. You be obedient to your parents in all things. That's everything. It's completely. And there's a reason for that. Why? For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So let's talk about completely. And as there's probably not, well, in one sense, there's probably a few people in this room, I mean, that's maybe under the authority of their parents still. And otherwise, we're thinking of it as parents and that our children need to understand this. But it says, obey your parents in all things. Not just the things you want to do, but what they tell you to do. We're under their authority. The children are under the authority of their parents. Children need structure and authority. They did a study in UC, University of California, I think it's UC Davis, 2,000 middle school boys, they followed them from elementary to young manhood. And they found that some had self-esteem, some didn't. What brought about the self-esteem? Two things, or really three things. One, they were loved and appreciated by their parents. They felt the love and appreciated. Number two, they were disciplined. Their parents were more strict than the ones that did not have high self-esteem. That doesn't mean you have to be a tyrant. It just means they had discipline and plans and had responsibilities. They had accountability in their family. And the third thing is that they had an open expression that they could talk to their parents. So to build self-esteem, they basically said they have to feel loved and appreciated. There has to be discipline and structure in their life, and they have to be able to talk to their parents and have open and acceptance. He says, first of all, obey in everything. In everything. It's real easy to say, I'll obey in some of the things, because this is the things I want to do, but these things I don't want to do. We've talked about this over and over. What happens to children who reject authority? What happens to them eventually? They go off the deep end. What happens to them? They go to jail and go to prison. Exactly. I mean, that sounds wild. People say, oh, you mean just because my kid's not obeying me? When people continually reject authority, they end up not only rejecting you as authority, but they reject all the authority as authority. They have trouble with their teachers. They have troubles in the military. They have trouble with the police. They have trouble in this world. The second reason, he says, he says, children, be obedient to your parents, first of all, in all things. Why? Because this is pleasing to God. It's well-pleasing to God. Notice the verse says, well-pleasing to the Lord. As we fulfill our role, then it pleases God. And we see this over and over in the scripture, regardless of what it is, regardless of whether it's the children or parents or whatever it is, it always goes back to when you do what you're supposed to do, it's always pleasing to God, and it's always the right thing to do. Now, there's some more, and I want you to turn just a couple of pages on in your Bible up to Ephesians, okay? Ephesians chapter 6. Look what it says. Children, obey your parents. Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, notice, this is right. And it says, as unto the Lord. It's basically saying, children, you obey your parents in the Lord. Because what the Lord has told them to do is to train you up. What happens to a child that doesn't obey? Number one, they should expect discipline. They should expect discipline from their parents, because Hebrews 12 says that our parents discipline them for our good. We also know that as a Christian child, when you disobey your parents, not only with your earthly father you discipline you, there may be heavenly father discipline. But this problem, the second thing is, if you do not obey your parents, is there's going to be a disrespect for authority. And we mentioned it a while ago. Prisons are full of people who have no respect for authority. They defy teachers, police. The end result is oftentimes destruction to themselves. If you spent your life knowing young people who get themselves into trouble, more often than not, it's the lack of respect for authority that gets themselves into trouble. I remember, I've told y'all the story, I think. I was in the 7th grade. And when I got into 7th grade, that's when we started having all the different classes. 6th grade for us was elementary. You had one class, got into 7th grade. And they put us, I don't know how they did it, but they put us, I had 6 classes, but I had a class with the same guy. He was in every one of my classes. His name was Tommy Bean. Bond Bean, they were all, I guess that's why it just came up that way. Well, I got to be a friend. And I didn't know him. He didn't even live near close to us. But he started, one day I said, you want to go home, come home with me? And he said, yeah, you want to come home with me? So we got in the car, and on the way home, I said, hey, Mama, why don't we stop and get candy or something, you know, get something. She said, well, I'm going to go in the little grocery store. So we stopped in the grocery store. We didn't really get much. When we got home, we went out in the backyard, and he went, I said, what? And he pulled out a thing of M&Ms. I said, where'd you get those? He said, I got them. He stole them. He stole M&Ms from the store. And I said, you stole those M&Ms from the store? He said, yeah, nobody cares. I thought, man. And that day, I lived real close to an elementary school. And so we decided, because there's a basketball goal at the elementary school, we could go play. It was a short goal. So we'd go up there and play on the short goal. So we got there. And we were shooting basketball, and then he stopped for a little bit, and I looked, and he had a knife that he, you know, back in those days, and he had cut the hose. There was a hose coming off the elementary thing that they watered the stuff. He had cut the hose with a knife. I said, what are you doing? He said, nothing. I said, you just cut the hose. He went, yeah, so what? Who cares? So I went home and I said, this guy stole M&Ms and cut the hose. She said, you can't ever play with him again. Don't hang around with him at school. He'll get you into trouble. Because he doesn't have any respect for what? He's respect for authority. I don't know whatever happened to him, because after seventh grade, I don't know if they moved away or something, but I didn't. That was about the last of it, because, you know, one time when I was a little boy, you know those paddles that have the ball and you go boom, 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 right? One time I went in a, like, five and dime store in Boca in those days, and the ball had broken off from the paddle and it was just on the floor. So I picked the ball up and went out to the car with it. And my mother said, what do you got? I said, I found that ball that had broken off. She said, you take that back in there right now. I said, well, it was broken. She said, I don't matter. We had to go back in. I said, I found this ball on the floor. I'm sorry. I thought, I didn't know. I mean, I didn't think about it as stealing, but she said, that's stealing. That's not yours. So my mother taught me, you don't take anything that's not yours. And I thought, well, I know that, but I thought it was a broken toy that nobody would want. She said, no, you don't ever take anything that's not yours. Now, apparently, that other family, his mom and dad didn't tell him that at all, because he tore up stuff and stole stuff all the time. What happens if you don't obey? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. If you don't obey, you should expect discipline, and you should expect that you're going to probably grow up disrespecting authority, and what's probably going to happen to you is you're going to go to prison. Nate Saint, missionary, friend with Jim Elliott, he said this. He said, my life did not change until I came to the realization that obedience is not some momentary option, but a decision to be made beforehand. We decide beforehand we're not going to steal or lie or cheat. We already decided that here's what's right and here's what's wrong. We don't wait to the heat of the moment to make a decision. We already know what we do. Jerry Jenkins wrote a letter to his son. Jerry Jenkins is the guy that wrote with Tim LaHaye all of the Left Behind stuff. He wrote to his son, he says, as with all biblical commands, the payoff for obedience are much more rewarding than any temporary pleasure. See, in our minds we think, right now is what I want, but do you realize that what's right and what's wrong, and the discipline of doing what's right, the payoff ultimately is much greater for you than whatever pleasure you could get from doing this. Children, obey your parents as long as you're under their authority. Let me give you the second one. And it's in the second verse. It says, honor your father and mother. Wow. Look what it says. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Well, there's a promise with that. There's a promise. Did you realize that you tell your kids, if you obey me and honor me, if you honor me, you'll live long? And that's what it says. The word honor has the idea of respect. We're to respect the position. I've had people say things like, you don't know my father, you don't know my mother, I can't honor them. You honor the position, not necessarily the person. There will come a time when you'll no longer be under their authority, but you are to always, I think the next slide, always honor them. It's a respectful aspect. We say my parents aren't worthy of honor. We're talking about the position. This is the mom and daddy that God has allowed to be in your life. That's a hard one. It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and may live long on the earth. What happened under the Mosaic law that if you totally disrespected your mother and father, and you lied about them, you stole from them, you treated them with no respect at all, what happened to you under the Mosaic law? Huh? They were to be stoned. Yeah, how about that one? Under the Mosaic law, if you were in total disrespect to your parents, you could be stoned. Now, I'm not saying we do that, right? But we're saying, how serious is God on relationships with parents and children? Always honor them. The truth is this. Most parents are trying the best they can. Kids don't always understand that. Most of us as parents are doing everything we can to bring our children up in the training of the Lord. We love them. We want the best for them. We want to do what's right. We don't always know what's right. We make many mistakes. But the bottom line is, children, obey your parents. Children, honor your parents. Parents, they're on your side. Look at this. What does honor mean? To a young children, it means to obey completely. To a teenager, it means to show respect. To a young adult, it means including your parents in your lives. And for middle age and beyond, it means making sure they are cared for. You obey them as long as you're under their authority. You honor them as long as they live. Now, I haven't heard a bell. Has anybody heard a bell? I've got past time, so maybe nobody's ringing today. Has anybody else got pastime? Okay, let me stop, because the third one is to provide, and we'll get that next time. And you probably want to make sure your kids have this, so that when you're ready to be helped, they can help you there. Those kind of things. Yeah. Yes, question, comment, input. You might live to, that's right. If you obey me, you might live to the next birthday. I think that under the Mosaic law, if you disobeyed and dishonored, you might not live to the next birthday. Yeah. There is that famous saying that be kind to your children, because they'll decide what nursing home you're going to be in. Right? So be careful of that too. All right, we'll get to the next. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you, Lord, for the things as we look at the responsibilities of children. We know that they're to obey and they're to honor. And then, Lord, we'll even see that they're to provide. And, Lord, help us to understand how that all fits together. We thank you, Lord, that as we look at this, and most of us in this room are on the parent end of this, and our time is coming to talk more about the role of parents, what we're to do. But, Lord, as we look at this, we see how our part fits in, because as they're to obey us and honor us, we're to teach them and train them and bring them up and help them to understand and help them to grow and provide and protect and all of those different things. So Lord, may we from our end do what we're supposed to do. And we just pray for our children, pray for those who are still under our authority to obey us. We pray for all our children to always honor parents. And then Lord, we pray that someday, if needs be, that they may be able to take care of their parents. Lord, help us as we study all of this. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll get more next time.